Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It's day 788. We're here in Job chapter 5. We've got Mr. John Calvin keeping us company this morning, talking about how the mind of man is a factory of idols, and that's sad but true. Appropriately dark mug with a kind of a dark thought and some dark coffee inside. And we come to Job 5, which is a little bit of a dark passage in Scripture. So there we go. Let's pray and ask the Lord's help that he can shine some light on this so that we can see Christ through this. Father in heaven, thank you for your love. Thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for another day of life. Thank you for another opportunity to spend time in your word. Please write your word on our hearts. Please help us to understand you and to love you and to draw close to you and to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Job chapter 5. Call now. Is there anyone who will answer you? To which of the holy ones will you turn? Surely vexation kills the fool, and jealousy slays the simple. I have seen the fool taking root, but suddenly I cursed his dwelling. His children are far from safety. They are crushed in the gate, and there is no one to deliver them. The hungry eat his harvest, and he takes it even out of thorns, and the thirsty pant after his wealth. For affliction does not come from the dust, nor does trouble sprout from the ground, but man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. As for me, I would seek God, and to God I would commit my cause, who does great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number, who gives rain on the earth and sends water on the fields, who sets on high those who are lowly, and those who mourn are lifted to safety. He frustrates the devices of the crafty so that their hands achieve no success. He catches the wise in their own craftiness, and the schemes of the wily are brought to a quick end. They meet with darkness in the daytime and grope at noonday as in the night. But he saves the needy from the sword of their mouth and from the hand of the mighty, so the poor have hope, and injustice shuts her mouth. Blessed, blessed is the one whom God reproves. Therefore, do not despise the discipline of the Almighty, for he wounds, but he binds up. He shatters, but his hands heal. He will deliver you from six troubles. In seven, no evil shall touch you. In famine he will redeem you from death, and in war from the power of the sword. You shall be hidden from the lash of the tongue, and shall not fear destruction when it comes. Ah, at destruction and famine you shall laugh, and shall not fear the beasts of the earth. For you shall be in league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with you. They shall know that your tent is at peace, and you shall inspect your fold and miss nothing. You shall also know that your offspring shall be many, and your descendants are as the grass of the earth. You shall come to your grave in ripe old age, like a sheaf gathered up in its season. Behold, this we have searched out. It is true. Hear and know it for your good. Oh, Eliphaz. This is Eliphaz the Temanite, Joab's friend, the first of the first of Job's friends to speak up. And what should cause us to pause and be careful is that so much of what Eliphaz says is true, but misapplied. In fact, this is true with almost everything that Job's friends say. You can take almost everything Job's friends say, and you can cross-reference it and find it taught in other parts of Scripture. Job's friends are God-fearers. They are worshipers of the Most High. They know biblical truth. And yet, because they presume to know how it should be best applied, and they presume to know the truth about Job when they don't, they end up way off base. I kind of learned this lesson about the book of Job at a very young age. I used to be Southern Baptist in a previous life. And in my small Southern Baptist church that I went to in high school and early college, they had a Youth Sunday. The first Sunday in June every year was Youth Sunday. And the youth group was given charge of the worship service. They just could take over the worship service, and they planned it and ran it beginning to end, including preaching the sermon. Not necessarily something I'd recommend doing, not something we do at Forest Hill for sure, but I got to preach my first sermon at 17 when I was a senior in high school, and my second sermon at 18 when I was a freshman in college, just finished my freshman year of college. So young, right? One of those sermons, I can't remember which, I do know that I was trying to prove a point from Scripture, and I was, back in those days, I would look in the concordance and just cross-reference words and phrases, and I saw this verse from Job that seemed to support the point I was making in my sermon, and so I quoted it. I said, just like the book of Job says, you know, blah, blah, blah. And my pastor had helped me craft the sermon, but afterwards he gave me feedback. He's like, that cross-reference you put in there from Job, that's one of Job's friends speaking. You need to be very careful using what they say, because even though it may be true and the point you were making was true, you don't want to quote Job's friends, you know, sympathetically or positively necessarily, although again, much of what they say is true. It's a lesson to us that don't presume to know anything about anyone. Listen to them and hear them out. Get to know them before you just jump to conclusions and presume that you know about them. So the opening part of Job 5 from Eliphaz here, this is the second part of his speech. We had the first part in chapter 4. This is chapter 5. The opening here of chapter 5 is a very, very interesting question. It's actually the central gospel dilemma in the book of Job. So the central sin of Job's friends is that they know biblical truth, but they misapply it because they presume to know the truth about Job, which they don't know. So they've crossed the line between the things revealed and the things hidden, and because they've presumed to know the truth and they think that Job is basically hiding some secret sin, they think they know how God always applies things. They think they know the secret ways of God, when all they know are the truths that God has revealed. And those are two very different things sometimes, because God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform, as the old hymn says from William Cooper. Verse 1, though, is the central gospel problem in the book of Job, and that is, where could Job go to find a mediator or an advocate? Call now. Is there anyone who will answer you? To which of the holy ones will you turn? Where can Job go to make an appeal? Where could he find a mediator? Where could he find an advocate to plead his case before God? Job is going to himself express this later in the book very eloquently. This is what we need, and that has been provided for us in Christ. In 1 John 2, John says, little children, I write these things so that you may not sin, but if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And Paul says to Timothy, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So our advocate is Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the righteous man. And he is Jesus, the man, Christ Jesus. He's the mediator. He's our advocate. He's our mediator. Job doesn't have anything like that. He doesn't have anyone who can plead his cause. He only has Satan, the accuser, of the brethren, the adversary. He has an adversary, but no advocate. He has an accuser, but no mediator. That's the central gospel problem in the book of Job. In his suffering, Job has no advocate. He has no mediator. So let's look at what else Eliphaz says. Vexation kills the fool. Jealousy slays the simple, right? That sounds like it could come right out of Proverbs. I mean, it's sure, right? I've seen the fool taking root. Suddenly I cursed his dwelling. His children are far from safety. They're crushed at the gate. There's no one to deliver them. The hungry eat his harvest. Sure, right? Foolish people, you can see it sometimes when you see someone who's a fool and they seem to be prospering. All of a sudden, the wheels can fall off the bus and everything fall apart. That, you know, the house of cards can come crashing down. Absolutely. That doesn't mean that that's what happened to Job. See, it's the presumption. I've seen this in fools before. In other words, you're a fool, Job. You've been fooling everybody all this time, but you must be a fool. No, this does not apply to Job. Job is no fool. Now, I said we need to be careful about quoting from Job's friends, but Job 5, verse 7 is actually often quoted and is true. Man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Perhaps Eliphaz doesn't even understand the truth of what he said. He says affliction doesn't come from the ground, from the dust, or trouble sprout up from the ground, but man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. He's making a statement that actually contradicts what he just said, because he says basically only fools know trouble, and later he's going to say righteous people only know the blessing of God. But actually, the truth is what he said here in verse 7, without even realizing what he said, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Man is by nature, because we're fallen creatures with a sinful nature in a fallen world, in a world of just fallenness and curse, we are born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. And then he's so pompously self-righteous. Can you hear the pompous self-righteousness dripping from verse 8? As for me, I would seek God, and to God would I commit my cause. Like, as if Eliphaz has any clue what it's like to be in Job's place. This is zero empathy, okay? He doesn't really understand or even try to understand where Job is and what Job has been through. Job, before his friends showed up, he's already said, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. He's already said, shall we accept good from God and not evil? He's already said, this is from God. And every day of his life, Job committed his cause to God and sought God, probably far more than Eliphaz ever did. So he says all these things about God, who does great things, unsearchable, marvelous things without wonder, who gives rain on the earth and sends water on the fields. Yes, all of that is true, right? He sets on high those who are lonely, those who mourn, he is lifted to safety. You could take a lot of this language right out of the Psalms, right out of the prophets. It's true, right? God does all of these things. Yes, he frustrates the device of the crafty so that their hands achieve no success. But that doesn't mean that it applies to Job. You see, it's like going up to a friend who's just been diagnosed with cancer, and you say to them, well, you know, the Bible says that many of those who take the Lord's Supper improperly in an unworthy manner, many of those are sick and some have even died. Hopefully you would never say that to someone who just got a diagnosis of cancer, but that's kind of the equivalent of what Eliphaz is doing here. Does the Bible say that people who take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, many of them are sick and some have died? Yes, it says that clear as day in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, but you and I don't have the right to say of a particular individual, this is why this is happening to you, because you've taken the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. By the way, if you're really worried about that, it means basically to not really be a believer, but to hypocritically take the Lord's Supper, not trusting in Christ, but just as a boastful show of self-righteousness, which Eliphaz would be more likely to be guilty of that kind of sin than Job. So the lesson to learn here is twofold. One, a lesson about our humanity, and that is don't presume, right? Don't presume to know more than you do know. Stick to the things that are revealed, and don't think that you understand hidden things, the secret things that belong to God. Don't think you know anyone's story. Don't think you know why anything is happening to anyone. The answers to the why questions are way above our pay grade. That's the human insight from here. The gospel insight from here is that Job needed a mediator, he needed an advocate, He didn't have one because Christ had not yet come incarnate. We have that in Christ. We have a merciful and compassionate and faithful high priest in the things of God. That is something to be thankful for. So let's give thanks for that. Oh, Lord God Almighty, thank you so much for giving us your Son to be our great high priest, to be our Savior, to be our advocate, to be our Redeemer, to be our mediator, to be our great high priest and the one who intercedes for us. Thank you for Jesus. Father, forgive us for times when we have presumed to know more than we know. I think we're all guilty of it from time to time. Please forgive us and teach us what it means to walk in humility and in love, trusting you and doing unto others as we would have them do to us in love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, that's Job chapter 5. Tomorrow, Job's going to have a turn to speak in Job chapter 6. So join me for that. Have a blessed day in the Lord.